I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
I am super thrilled to have Sue Koch on the show today. Sue, you have a little bit of a different journey going from entrepreneurship into agency life.
Yes.
And I'm really excited to dig in, to have this conversation with you about the world of work. And of course, one of both of our favorite topics, digital media. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here and chat with you, Anita.
Yeah. So you hail from Chicago originally. I'd love to hear about your backstory. How did you get interested in digital marketing? Why did you decide to start your own agency?
Yeah, so before coming to UCL, I have a long, varied path. It did very much start with technology, but much before the world that we're in today of technology and digital marketing. Sort of made my mark early on in the first tech bubble of startups, actually working for what was the first legal digital music subscription company, which interestingly enough was sort of that first foray into personalization. And then from there, ended up working also for another software as a service company in the real estate market. In those capacities, I was really involved heavily in operations, running operations, managed software development, and a lot of the technical development around data. So really getting into business intelligence and data warehousing in those roles, which was really exciting. So I think part of the great match for me with Uncommon Logic is that data background that I have and really seeing that evolve in the earlier days. After a while, really wearing just about every hat you could wear in a tech startup company, just some things were happening in my family life and thought I'd always wanted to kind of give it a go at entrepreneurship. And I actually did start my business with the goal of doing what I had done in the past and actually working with some clients on payment processing and setting up data infrastructures and reporting and things like that. But the way that I got myself out there was something I had not thought about when I left that job and thought, I'll just go consult people. It's not as easy as you think, people. You got to sell yourself. And I really started doing that by using LinkedIn and Twitter. And what ended up happening was people started saying, I don't want to hire you necessarily for what you're saying you do. I want to hire you to show me how to do what you've been doing.
Oh,
and that was really the switch into social media. So then it became a social media training strategy and reporting business that I started running. And it was a great journey. I learned so much. I loved doing that and really learning also about running a business more. Mm-hmm. But as you can imagine, through COVID, I definitely saw some business loss. Unfortunately, I had a lot of clients in like hospitality and events, so it didn't bode very well. And also just sort of the atmosphere of social media at the time, it was really draining me. And I had long been thinking that I wanted to expand my horizons in digital marketing. I'd been working with other people to collaborate on PPC and SEO and CRO related things for my clients, but I knew I wanted to get my hands into that. And that was how I found Uncommon Logic. So that's sort of my quick cliff note version of the journey and how I got into digital marketing, social, and ended up here.
Yes. And made a big move as well. Not just to an agency, Uncommon Logic, but also state, city.
Definitely. I really didn't expect that to be part of my journey either. And it was really interesting because I love Chicago. I've lived there for the majority of my life and all my people are there. But there was just something in my gut, like literally my gut said when they asked me about moving, was like, yes. And my brain was like, what? And it just worked out kind of perfectly. So,
yeah, and that's so intriguing to me also, because we hear so much about, especially post-COVID, digital agencies that are virtual as well, like the world of work and what that looks like. So the fact that you are there physically, it's intriguing to me.
Yeah. And I think that was sort of what it also surprised me, but was nice that so soon after too, they really were trying to get people into the office safely, of course. Yes. And it is really a hybrid model, but they do like people to be in Austin so that we can have that collaborative teamwork. And it has been really great, I think, especially after running my own business for 10 years and doing a lot in a silo and then COVID, it's felt really great to come back to an environment where there's actual humans roaming the hallways and, you know, people in meetings together. And it does make a big difference when you've got the 3D and the body language in the room with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you moved from operations and setting up systems to your own company. And now you are digital marketing account manager and also operations.
Yeah, I do a lot to support that as well.
Fantastic. Can you unpack that a little bit? Because I do have a lot of people who are going through graduate school right now or just getting into their careers. And I know operations can mean different things, different kinds of systems. Some people, it's more project management. Some people, it's more of like how you build everything to have a cohesive system for your company. So in your roles, what does that look like?
Yeah, and that's a really great point because, yeah, especially as you speak to like people coming out of school and trying to figure out where they want to be. And in today's world as well, there are so many operational roles, right? In a lot of our client work, I love when we have a marketing operations specialist on the team coming to the table because that's where I know I can ask all the Salesforce questions and what's your lead value look like and get us on the line with your sales team and all of those sorts of things. And then there's just sort of the overarching operations, which is sort of my background, which is like you said, that more general, like how everything operates and flows together, building streamlined, seamless processes across not just what you're doing in the marketing endeavors, but more so like how is, you know, the marketing team talking to sales and customer service and is that aligned? And that really, even from a pure marketing perspective, is so important in the world that we're in digital marketing, because if behind the scenes at a client, sales and customer service are not in alignment with marketing, we can't serve them to their greatest success. So it's really helpful to have that insight as well. But what I've also been able to, I think it benefits me in the client work to have that background. But also what I love is to really be able to help the agency internally as well with the background that I have, that not just the account team work, but hey, we're doing all these things and we're trying to get more efficient and we're a very high performance team. So having that eye toward how things are working also internally and what we're doing for reporting and data providing and the different tools and technologies that we're using and how they're talking to each other is always an ever-living passion that I have, because that is my past and it is really something I enjoy a lot. And so it's great to be able to have that dynamic across the client work and internally as the agency grows and shifts.
Absolutely. And I think it's, as you said, it's something that a lot of people don't realize. I'm at an agency that has been around for 21 years, completely virtual. And even that, with everything that's happened in the past few years, we came in and I brought some of my team and we've set up different systems and new ways of doing things and just other processes so that everything flows a little bit better. And
yeah.
I love it because you can always learn from somebody new coming in who has this knowledge, or when you go to a new position and working together and figuring out collaboratively, what does this look like?
Yeah. Definitely. And I love to be in that collaborative space in a growth phase. And like you said, as we bring more people onto the team and everyone's different background perspectives coming to the table to have some aha moments around how we can just do things differently, better, faster, stronger.
Oh, nice. So I'd love to hear a little bit about what kind of clients Uncommon Logic works with. First of all, I love that name. It's not a name I would necessarily associate with a marketing agency.
Yeah, I really liked it too. And then talking to them when I was first interviewing and working with everyone, it is an uncommon dynamic. You know, the closeness of the team from both a just support and respect as well as training dynamic. They really do things differently. Just the core values that the agency works by and, you know, making sure that everyone is heard internally as well as our clients. It's been a really great, again, coming from entrepreneurship and being sort of in a silo for a while, it's been a great dynamic of people to work with.
Fantastic. And what is the typical client for Uncommon Logic?
Yeah, so we really, and what's also interesting is we have Unfair Advantage, which is the arm of the agency that works with the smaller businesses. Yep. And then Uncommon Logic works more with the mid to larger size organizations.
Okay.
So that we can really tackle support for a wide array of organization sizes. With respect to industry too, we wouldn't say that there's not an industry or a client that we would not work with, but we definitely do have some very specific industry expertise, one in the education area in higher ed, also definitely doing a lot of B2B software as a service. And we have, you know, done everything. You know, we've had clients in e-commerce everywhere from like automotive parts to shoes and vision. So we really kind of run the gamut across B2B and e-commerce.
Yeah, that is quite a wide range. And since you started first at, you know, tech startups, Fortune 500s, your own consulting practice, and now on the agency side, what are some of the changes you've seen in the digital ecosystem and the way that these companies need to think about paid strategies? Because I know a lot of what I've seen, because I'm also a professor at USC Annenberg, and we talk a lot about privacy laws or third-party cookie validation going away, or like so many changes coming up. So how do you cut through all of the changes that are constantly happening? What do you see as some of the upcoming, you know, trends or the tried and trues that people should be aware of?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And that's something we're really arming ourselves as an agency to be able to help our clients with. There's so many concerns with respect to privacy with, you know, GA4 coming around and changing things there. And then clients trying to adapt to that, you know, the big hype. A lot of that was really around quick get on to GA4 if you're not there yet, but all the other considerations as well as far as using first party data and how you're going to have access to things to retarget and have the same type of data that you had before that's useful to inform your future strategy. So those are some areas that we've been really ramping up our training on our internal team and our product side to make sure that we can address all of that for our clients. A lot of deep research on the things that, you know, we can continue to offer to support them in that. I think it's so important too that also with AI coming around, it's another consideration and sort of at the same time between, you know, the privacy and analytics and first party data. And then we've got AI, how people are going to be using that and the cautions with, you know, not only privacy, but also people sounding like a robot on what that's going to do for their paid media and their SEO. So there's a lot, I think, that's just come up in the last couple of years, even year, that we've had to really pivot on and harness and develop our staff and our training on, as well as making sure that we're guiding our clients in the right direction to, you know, really get them comfortable with change. Because if they've seen something tried and true for many years and they've been resistant in the past, maybe they sort of had a choice to continue doing that. But we don't really have that choice anymore. We need to make those changes to do those things differently so that we are protected. We are protecting our clients and their consumers, and also that we have the right data available to us to make the right decisions. So diversification is really key for us right now. We've had a lot of clients who really want to put all their eggs in the Google basket, and we're really working with them to diversify across different areas of social, programmatic, et cetera, so that we have a strong portfolio. And if something changes somewhere that we have to pivot on, that they're protected and still, you know, making the most of their paid media dollars.
That is fantastic. And that was one of my next questions, is thinking about that full approach and thinking about how other aspects beyond paid go into that. And so making recommendations, because I know, taking myself for an example, we all get so many emails, right? And get inundated by them and the sales messages, and then they get your phone number and then they're texting you. And I'm like, I'm not even to the decision point yet for that product or service. And so then I'm like, I'm just going to unsubscribe from everything and tell them to stop texting me. But then it's a missed opportunity. So trying to figure out, but you know, then I'll see them again on social media, and then it's a rinse repeat process.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's hard to figure out like what the right strategies are. I know other people and I have talked about how direct marketing could be useful now because we don't get as much hard mail, right? Email is still a great strategy, but how do you incorporate that with your paid strategy? And what does it all look like? So yeah. I feel like it's still, there's not any one right answer. It's industry specific often. There are still things that work, but educating ourselves. I mean, I'm sure for yourself as well, you've been in the business for so long, but you're still having to constantly keep up on education certifications. And
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we could all take training classes every single day on all of this and still not get into the depths of it all because there is so much. And something I thought you was interesting about like direct marketing and people not realizing that, yes, email still matters. You know, what's old is, I won't say new again because it's still been there, but I think those old tried and true traditional marketing strategies do sort of stand out again in today's world if done well, right? It's not the same token flyers you might see or get in the mail again. But if you do things differently and traditionally, it is still another touch. And it may not now be as annoying as like, yes, if I'm getting all these text messages and all these LinkedIn messages and you're being drowned out, like the people that you care about on your phone, on your social channels are being drowned out by people that are sort of doing that spray and play instead of doing it in a unique strategic fashion that meets their audience where they're at. I think certainly a lot of those traditional methods can and should still be incorporated into a holistic strategy. That's why I think it's so important too that we tie our offerings of SEO and CRO and analytics and social together so that we can pull those levers, you know, when it makes sense. And that way too, yeah, if someone's put all their eggs in a certain basket that isn't working for them anymore, or someone pulls the rug out for under them, at least we can say, hey, we'll focus on pivoting here, but meanwhile, let's make sure your SEO is super strong, that your landing pages are, you know, converting, and that you've got a strong brand presence on social. So that allows those levers to be pulled and give them a holistic approach for success.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, you just answered, I think, my next couple of questions. Because it really is about the agility, right? And that is one of the benefits of working in an agency structure, is that you have different teams working on things. So it's not all siloed, which is another issue that you come up around in the world of PR. If I'm working on PR for somebody, but they have other teams doing different things and we're not all coordinating, then it's just not as strong of a play.
It's true. Yeah, that can be. And that was something that in doing my own thing for so long, I had people that I could bring to the table for SEO or CRO or paid marketing. But the fact that one, they didn't all know each other. I was tapping into a resource pool that hopefully was available when I needed them. It was still pretty disjointed. So it was like, I can offer these things to clients, but I didn't have as much control over it. And in some cases, honestly, now looking back then with what I know now, there are some cases where I'm like, oh, I can't believe I used those people that were referred to me because I needed to, right? Whereas now with this agency, I can, with full wholeheartedness, be like, yep, we've got some experts in this area that can help you. And we work as a cohesive dynamic. So that conversation is always seamless. But of course, there's going to be cases where there might be another agency in doing another piece of it. Mm-hmm. And in that case, we love all being at the table or on the Zoom call together so that we can build that smooth operation together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What are some of the other things that you've seen change in your life and the way that you work, moving from your consultancy into Uncommon Logic?
Oh, wow.
That's a big question.
How long do you have? Yeah. You know, so much has changed even with respect to social. My focus, because I really was working, in addition to some of like the hospitality area that I was in, sort of another area of my focus was regulated professional services organizations. So like mortgage, finance, real estate, et cetera. And that's something that I've definitely seen change a lot. At UCL, we do have some clients in that area as well. We've been working a bit more with law firms and financial services. So that's been great. I've definitely seen that change a lot. When I was doing my consulting role, they were very hesitant still because there were also still a lot of regulations, especially in the financial world, even about what you could say on LinkedIn or Facebook or what your profile read. And still to this day, they do have a lot of parameters that they're bound by, but they are more flexible. And now there are tools out there that will also support compliance and things like that. You know, we still deal with some things. You know, Google just recently changed their policies in financial services and other typical regulated professions on their advertising. So we're currently dealing with sort of that onslaught of policy change, violations, let's fix all of this. So it's always ever changing and a great learning experience. But I would say that's one of the big things that has changed a lot, is that organizations like that have bought in. They know they need to do it. And there are other tools and regulatory authorities that have also changed their perspective and are really supporting those kinds of businesses in doing paid media well. in a way that they can have fun with it and be themselves. Because in the past, it was just sort of, you can use this and being a robotic tool around what they're posting or doing on paid media. Now they can truly represent their brand and put their best foot forward.
Fantastic. And that was actually one of my next questions, was about the branding. And I love that you do this work, because I have worked with a law firm in the past that really focused on helping creatives with their trademarks and copyrights and all of that. And so they were very niche and very specific. And the partners were very fun. And it was great when they could show their personalities, because they really like Comic-Con and, like, you know, things you would normally think of for lawyers and law firms and the kind of advertising and promotions they're going to do.
it makes such a difference, especially in the world of, like, lawyers, to see them truly humanized and like, yeah, you're someone I could sit across the table with and tell my story in confidence. And, you know, you see that they are also humans too, with families and fun, humorous sides.
Since you work with such a big array of clients, I want to talk about branding for a little bit. When somebody comes to your company, do you ever have to say, you're not ready for us yet? Maybe you need to go back and spend a little more time on your brand and we can do that with you, or we have these recommended partners? Or what does that side of the world look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, not being specifically in the sales side of things, I'm not sure how many times we've had to say no to someone. But I do know that sometimes, you know, people are in the pipeline having conversations and might then pop up again later. Or one thing we might do with someone in that phase, if they're not fully ready for a big paid media or SEO strategy, is that maybe they then work with the UFA side of the business for, you know, where the smaller organizations, or, you know, it's a different package price point where they might be able to start to dip a toe in without going full in until they're fully ready. We don't do branding sort of like the creative side, where you do all of the wonderful, like, storyboarding and Q&A on developing a brand. But we, you know, we do always have people in our pockets that we can refer to people to help them do that. But once a brand is established, to, you know, if they haven't put themselves out there to the world yet and they're still riding with the training wheels with their new branding, that's definitely something that we've got case studies and things that we can support, helping them strategize on putting that brand forward, you know, whether it's a new brand overall or maybe a brand shift from something that they were previously doing.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you. And then for your clients, when you're looking at their paid strategies, we talked a little bit about Google and how important Google is. Mm-hmm. But I imagine also when you're looking at higher ed versus e-commerce, they might be on different platforms.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely not a, and that's where the uncommon part comes in. You know, we're definitely not going to recommend everyone do everything. And I think that's sort of a messaging that people get out there, not necessarily from agencies per se, but if you're out there trying to figure out what to do and you're following your LinkedIn feed, I feel like the vibe out there is either go all in or don't bother, right? And that can be very distracting and overwhelming, especially for businesses that don't have the larger budget to go out and start advertising. So we definitely try to recommend to our clients, you know, what makes sense for you, whether it's based on a client that we've done the work for before, case studies that are out there. You know, so for a higher education client, there might be recommendations that we would make that would be completely different, of course, for a software as a service client. And it also depends on the strategy, right? Like, who's going to be involved? There might be businesses that aren't ready for LinkedIn and don't have the content production capabilities nor desire to do it. But if you're an ABM client, and you don't have the content production capabilities to do it, we're going to find a way to make that happen, because that's an absolutely critical component of an ABM strategy. So sort of different perspectives as far as if we recommend, you know, staying away from something, focusing on something, or saying, you know, we really think it's in your best interest that this is part of your strategy and here's how we can help you make that happen.
Yeah. And when you're looking at content strategies for your clients, do you have to do a lot of the development? They usually come and say, we're looking for, you know, we're looking for brand awareness, we're looking for lead gen for these specific programs or these specific types of customers. How involved do you have to be in that side of the process? Or do you get to really jump in and dig into, okay, SEO, social, paid, let's put that part of the strategy together?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's also a little bit of both, right? So we have some clients that are on broader holistic programs that also have their own big internal team of content producers. So our role in that is really more about, let's create this holistic strategy across how PPC and SEO are serving each other. they turn over this amazing content, and then our team will help to SEO optimize that, give them advice and recommendations there, whether it's blog content, advertising content, or PR content, and then also help them sort of, you know, present that best component of the content in the advertising headlines and copy. There are other clients, however, that do need a lot more help there. And in that case, our team does provide a little bit more support and actual creation of ad copy, might do broader SEO support where we're almost doing like a full brief of what that blog might look like. So again, it's where can we fill in the gap that the client has at the right level of services that they're able to sign up for with us. But we really do have such a wide, diverse array of expertise at our agency that we're ready to help them with that if they need that hole filled.
Fantastic. And we talked a little bit about AI, but I'd love to dig in a little more to where do you see AI being helpful or hurtful when it comes to these things? Because I know there's so much discussion about that right now and best use cases and making sure that you're using it appropriately, I guess would be the easiest way to say it.
Yeah, another very loaded question. And, you know, something too that we as an agency wanted to, we have a few people who have just been digging in like mad and devouring it and learning so much and sharing those learnings with the team. And everyone is really excited about it. And we're also making sure that we're doing it in the right way. You know, one of the things that we're super clear about is, you know, no matter what we're doing with AI, that we're not using client names in anything because we would never want any of that data to get out there to the world, right? So we're all for using it, but doing it in a way, you know, like I said, one that's not going to expose any client names or any client data. And also, you know, on the other side of that humanization piece that we talked about a little bit earlier with respect to lawyers having fun in videos on ads, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there. You can even see it like in LinkedIn posts themselves, because LinkedIn has its own native AI. You can tell who's using it. Right. And that's where it is a different detriment to the client, where in the cases, like you said, you know, if we're doing a content brief for a client for SEO, we might use AI to help us create an outline or identify some, you know, keyword alternatives and structure and things like that. But there is going to be a human 100% that goes through that every word start to finish before a client ever lays eyes on it. And I think in the client side too, where there are clients that are companies overall that are just doing blogs themselves by using AI, there are people out there that are just pulling it and posting it. And that is going to be a huge detriment. Google has already been on to inauthentic content. And I think those are some of the things that are just going to continue to get harder and harder. At the same time as AI is making our lives easier and easier, and hopefully people aren't defaulting to that and just realizing that, you know, this is a ladder, this is a support tool, but this can't be the end all be all. So I think there's going to be a lot of caution that needs to be used with respect to that, so that we're still doing our best and companies are doing their best to really do content authentically and win at SEO as well.
Yeah, what you just said is so important. Content creation is so important to every aspect of what we do in marketing.
Yeah.
But Google, as you mentioned, is starting to catch on and flag things. And that means that your content's not going to be showing as well organically as you want it to be. And that's going to hurt a lot of people, I think. It's
definitely
kind of like with social media, people who have bots as followers or making comments or doing things like that. So all of those things just... they're not going to help. They might help in the very short term, but long term, hope everybody listening is really taking this in.
Long term,
it is not a good play. There's not a long term
strategy. It is designed to help and make things easier, but it's not designed to take that role completely away. And so, you know, I think there are things too that people fear for their jobs because of AI. And maybe there are cases of that, but in the world of developing content, writing ad copy, if a company is letting people go because they think AI is going to do that for them, they're on a troubled path, because we need the humans to intercede before that goes out to the world.
Wonderful. Well, on the other side, I'd like to hear, what are some questions people should ask when they're looking for the right agency to work with?
Oh, that's a great question. And actually, we recently wrote a blog on that whole topic as well.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but definitely, you know, I think what's really important is to ask the level of expertise that an agency has in a lot of the different offering areas. I saw this happen early on with social media, where all of a sudden all these agencies had social media on their, you know, menu of offerings. And there would be people that, you know, in my pre-UCL life, I would seek out to support for help on client work, and would come to realize very quickly that they were sort of doing that because they had to. Right? Like, oh, I got to keep up. So I got to put this on my website as a service offering. So I think it's really important to not just, you know, look at what's on the website, but, you know, ask, what are your levels of expertise with these different tools, with these different areas of engagement? Asking about case studies in particular in your area. You know, if there's a B2B software as a service company that's coming to the table, you can bet we've got some great case studies to show them about how we've helped, you know, increase MQLs and SQLs and lower CPLs and all of that. So I think quite often people don't think to ask for case studies. They might look for things online, but, you know, that's something that we're really working on building a big repository of, so that when clients do come, and I encourage them all to ask these questions, is, hey, give me a case study on my particular scenario. And if we don't have one, maybe they come to the table and say, okay, here are some goals that we have. How do you see yourselves helping us with this to achieve those goals? So I think those are really important questions outside of just get outside of the fact that somebody offers a certain area of expertise and make sure that they really understand your business and are not going to try and offer up a templatized approach. That's really the overall key.
Yeah. Yeah. That's some really great advice. I will have to look for the blog post as well and maybe link it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll share it with you following, so you've got that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to unlock about working at your agency, the kind of work people need to look at in the digital world, any trends that we didn't uncover?
Great question. Gosh, I would just say overall, you know, if we're talking here more so to the companies, business owners that are hiring agencies and looking to improve their digital marketing, I would just, an overarching thing would be to say, don't fear change. We've got to embrace change right now. And I feel like in digital marketing, there is a lot of fear of going to another channel, of spending the money, of, oh, what is this work going to be? But if we don't embrace that change right now and stay close to what we're comfortable with, all of the change that is happening that we just talked about is going to come back and bite you in the foot. So I think that diversification is so important. And if there is a company out there that is uncomfortable with that, you know, reach out to our agency, follow different agencies on LinkedIn, follow certain hashtags so that you can learn about what different people are saying about different things. And then, you know, send somebody out at your company to go learn about it. If you understand what that diversification looks like, it's not going to be as scary. It doesn't mean, oh, if I'm spending $20,000 on Google, now I need to also spend $20,000 in programmatic and multiply that again for social. It could be that you find that perfect balance of what that looks like while you test into these different areas. So, you know, I think people fear change a lot because they see it as a huge jump. You know, you can start to wade into that pool and test the areas that you want to live in for a little bit longer.
Fantastic. And Sue, do you have a favorite quote, mantra, some words of wisdom?
Oh, gosh, that is a great question. There is a favorite quote. I think it's a quote that was attributed to someone called George Eliot. But it was actually because of the time that the quote came up, they had to change the person's name because it was actually a woman.
Oh,
so they made it sound like me. But yeah, there's a quote called, "It's never too late to be what you might have been." And there's a whole much longer, you know, narrative to the whole thing of why it's sort of meaningful to me and why I love that. And I think for me, in one case, is I've been through so many career and life iterations. I've told myself this many times over and it resonates heavily with me. There's another part of the quote too that talks about, like, once you make a commitment and start taking steps, you see those things around you move with you. Ooh. So without taking those steps, that is not going to happen. And the world isn't going to send you those signals that you've taken the right steps until you do start to move. So yeah, I love that one. It keeps me motivated. And I think it kind of aligns with the embracing of change, that kind of, you know, that tip at the end, like start to take those little steps. Other things will move with you and then you'll see something much greater before you as a result.
I am going to put that on my board as well.
Yeah, I'll send you the whole quote.
I love it. And then the best way to connect with you and to learn more about the agency is the website, uncommonlogic.com.
Yeah, definitely. Uncommonlogic.com. And I'm open to connect on LinkedIn with the appropriate, you know, relevance. We talked about those messages earlier. But yeah, definitely on LinkedIn as well. And the agency shares a lot of great information on LinkedIn too.
Fantastic. Well, this has been really fun. I really see you coming on and talking us through your journey, sharing information that people need to know if they're going to work at an agency or if they're looking to hire an agency, and some of the trends that we need to not be scared of, but we really need to embrace and start implementing.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Yes. And thank you to the audience for watching or listening to this episode of Your Brand Amplified. I'll be back again in a few days with another amazing expert to share all of their knowledge, or at least a little bit of their knowledge with you, to have tips and tricks that will help you and develop your own skills in your business and in your life.
Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.